turn with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Joshua, in chapter 1, page 178 in your pew Bibles. We're going to read this chapter through and think a little bit about it this morning. We have just started a series on Joshua over in 1 Bershane. So far, people have been encouraged by it and challenged by it, and I just thought I would bring it over to you today. And maybe as I hear about the mission that is coming up, maybe a little bit of what I will say today will hopefully be an encouragement to you as you prepare for that time of outreach into your community. So Joshua chapter 1, reading through the whole chapter, this is the word of God Almighty. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Amen. And we thank God for his word to us. And we know he blesses the reading of this story. You know this story very well. You know this moment in history extremely well. It's one that is taught to us in Sunday school. It's a significant event in the life of the nation of Israel. But I want to go back a little bit. I want to begin by reminding us how the people of Israel reached this position, how they came to be in this place in Joshua chapter 1. I want to remind us of how many years before that the people of Israel had been rescued from their life of slavery in Egypt, how the Lord God Almighty had heard their cry for mercy and had brought them out from the cruel rule of Pharaoh. And then in the wilderness, as the people were wandering through the wilderness, God gave them the Ten Commandments and he gave them other laws, which have been described as the constitution of the nation of Israel. And in these laws and in this time, Yahweh, the great I Am, promised that he would be their God and they would be his people, but that they must live according to these laws that he had given his servant Moses. These wanderings, this time when God had revealed so much to them, brought them to the edge of the land of Canaan, the land in which the nation of Israel would settle down and establish themselves. And in Numbers 13, in the opening verses, we read this: the Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." Listen to what he said. "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." This God who had led them to the edge of Canaan, this God who was saying to them, "Listen, you go in and explore the land, I'm going to give it to you." This was the God who had overcome the might of Pharaoh, the great powerful ruler. This is the God who had set his people free. Now he was saying, "Listen, go in and explore the land. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be yours. You're going to possess it." Again, we know the story well, don't we? The spies came back. 10 of them said in Numbers 13 and 30, "Well, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." But in the next chapter, we read what Caleb said. "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Sadly, the people listened to the majority. They lacked the faith in God. They lacked the faith that God would be with them and give them the land as he had promised. They listened to the 10 instead of the 2. But not only did they listen to the 10 and display a lack of faith in their great God who had brought them to this point, but we also read in Numbers 14 this: "All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?'" On the edge of the promised land, they turned on their God and they turned on his anointed leaders. They preferred the life of slavery back in Egypt rather than the life that God was promising them in a land flowing with milk and honey. They rejected God's promise. And what happened? They suffered the judgment of God. Because of their lack of faith, because of their disobedience, they suffered the judgment of God. Again, going to Numbers 14, "Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand and make your home, except Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them into the land to enjoy the land that you have rejected." Now we come to Joshua 1. The judgment that we had just read about had been fulfilled amongst the people. All those who were over 20 years of age had died except for Joshua and Caleb. And now they stand on the edge of Canaan, on the threshold of entering into that promised land that God said he would give to his people. What will happen this time? What will happen? Will they enter it? Will they step out in faith? Will they go in and not worry about the enemies, and they will go in the power of God and defeat them? Or will history repeat itself? As they stand there, as they look across the Jordan, as they look at the people who occupy it, Will fear and a lack of faith overcome the people yet again? Will they say no a second time to God? Well, as they stood here under the leadership of Joshua, as God was calling his people to advance his kingdom, to enter the promised land, he gave to Joshua and then to the people assurances. Assurances that should have filled them with a confidence as they faced the mighty task that lay before them. And the first thing that God assures them of as they stand on the edge of the promised land was that his promise to give them the land was an enduring promise. His land, the promise to give them the land was an enduring promise. It was nearly 500 years earlier that God had said to Abraham, way back in Genesis 12, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. To your offspring I will give this land. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Abraham arrived in this land, but he never actually possessed the land. He never actually occupied the land. In fact, we read that when his wife Sarah died in Genesis 23, he had to go and purchase land from someone. He didn't ever own any of this land that God had said his descendants would have. Now we come to Joshua, wants to say nearly 500 years later, they've been through so much. Abraham's descendants have been through so much, many ups and many downs. Now that promise was about to be fulfilled. Joshua chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. And then in verse 6, God says to Joshua, be strong, courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit, to possess the land that I swore or promised by oath to their ancestors to give them. Friends, God's promises are something that he always keeps. The promises of God never fail. In Psalm 89, verse 34, God says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. God will not break his word. He will not break his covenant. He will not break his promises because God cannot break his word. If God went back on his word and he broke his promises, then he wouldn't be God because he wouldn't be trustworthy. He wouldn't be truthful. And God is truth. And so when God promises something, he will keep that promise. He will fulfill that promise. It is guaranteed. It is assured. And when God made a promise to give to the descendants of Abraham the land of Canaan, God was going to keep that promise. He promised he would make Abraham into a great nation. And certainly by this stage, numerically, the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, were a substantial group. And now they were on the verge of entering that land where they could establish themselves as a physical nation in that sense. They would be able to own their own land. They would be recognized as a people. God promised he would do it, and he was going to fulfill it, as he said here to Joshua. God's promise to build his kingdom is still true today, thousands of years on. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He promised to build his kingdom, his people. And today, God is still building his kingdom. He is still advancing his kingdom. He is still bringing people into the promised land, not the land of Israel, not that physical land, but into his eternal heavenly promised land. It is still advancing. It is still growing. He is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. And folks, I know it can be very disheartening as we try to advance the kingdom of God, as we try to serve the kingdom of God, because we face so many challenges. And some of you may recognize how those challenges have massively changed over the years. As I said to the children, look at the empty pews. Many of you remember when this place was full, Sunday by Sunday. We see an increasing lack of faith, a complete unbelief in the teaching of the Word of God. In fact, it's becoming quite an aggressive opposition to the Scriptures. and many, many other things concerning God. People are turning their backs on it. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to take a stand for the things of God. It would be easy to be a bit like the 10 spies who came back from that operation in Canaan and say, listen, it's too powerful. The enemy's too great. We just can't do it. We get focused on the challenges rather than the opportunities that God has for us. But as one preacher has said, if you are a Christian here today, remember that God has called you to service in the advancement of his kingdom. And you are to remember that God's promises never fail. And friends, we need to also remember this, that when God promised that they would enter into this land, this new land, that they would have to fight for it. There would be battles. And Joshua will point that out to this in the second half of chapter 1 when he talked about those 2.5 tribes leaving behind their families and their property and taking up the sword and going into battle together to drive out the inhabitants so they could occupy this land. But the people should have remembered this. And how short was their memory and how short is our memory? That when they were wandering through the wilderness, they faced many enemies as well, such as the Amalekites. And these Amalekites and other enemies just didn't disappear. When they heard the Israelites coming, they didn't just go and hide by and large. We read there were battles, they were at war, and yet they overcame these enemies. How? By the power of God. By the might of God who protected his people and gave them the victory. And continue to lead them to the promised land. Friends, doing the work of the kingdom of God is not easy. It's a battle. It's a spiritual war. The enemy is out to get us. Sharing good news of Jesus, living in obedience to his teaching will be difficult, will be challenging. There will be those who will oppose us. There will be those who will criticize us. There will be those who will attack us. There will be those who will mock us. But in the face of those challenges, we can do the work of the kingdom with a confidence, with a boldness, knowing that we are on the winning side because God has promised that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God keeps his promises. He reminded Joshua and he reminded the people that he promised that he would give this land to them. And that should have filled them with confidence in the face of the enemy. But not only did he assure the people that he would fulfill his promise and give them the land, but he gave them the great confidence that his presence would be with them. Verse 5, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua had been chosen by God and commissioned by God to lead the people, the Israelites, into battle for the promised land. It's a huge task. It was a monumental task. And I have no doubt that as Joshua stood on the edge of the Jordan and he contemplated what lay ahead of him, he was probably trembling with fear. He wouldn't have been a normal person if he hadn't trembled with fear. But God reminded him that he wasn't going by himself. He was not facing this massive challenge in his own strength, using his own wisdom, using his own guile. Joshua was going into battle with the assurance that Yahweh, the great I Am, the God of his forefathers, the God who brought the people out of Egypt, the God who had been with them through their wilderness wanderings and defeated the enemies there, was with Joshua and was with the people as they were on the verge of entering into Canaan. Dale Ralph Davies, in his little commentary, says, it is interesting to note that these simple words were spoken once before to a very reticent, backward, excuse-making, ask George, not me sort of fellow called Moses, back in Exodus 3 and 12, when he was called to face both Israel and Pharaoh. Moses was gone, but God was the same God who had been with Moses and given him the victory over Pharaoh. And he was given the same assurance to Moses' successor, to Joshua. And he was encouraging Joshua to be strong and courageous, for I will be with you wherever you go. Friends, Moses is gone. Joshua is gone, but God is not gone. The God who gave this promise to be with his people and to give them the victory is the same God who is with us today. And if he was sufficient for Moses against Pharaoh, if he was sufficient for Joshua to enter the promised land, then he is sufficient for you and me in this day and age to face our enemies, to do his work, to advance his kingdom, to proclaim the good news of Jesus. God is still present today as he was away back then. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended back into glory when he gave them the great commission? Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then we flip over to Hebrews 13, this great promise given to the church. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, echoing the words given to Joshua. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Friends, the work of building God's kingdom is not over yet. We have a long way to go. It can seem to be an overwhelming task, one that we feel incapable of doing and of achieving. But we can go out into that work with confidence. We can go into that work of building God's kingdom assured of his presence and assured of his promises. He has called ordinary people, an ordinary man like Moses, an ordinary man like Joshua, ordinary men and women and boys and girls like all of us sitting around here today to be kingdom builders. Just as Joshua wasn't called to do it in his own strength, neither are we, folks. God has promised to be with us, to equip us, to enable us, to be present with us as we serve him. You're heading into a time of mission. There will be challenges. There will be discouragements. There will be frustrations. But go into this time of confidence. Confidence that filled the Apostle Paul's heart and soul and mind, as we read in Philippians 4, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Friends, let us go out in the strength of the promises and the presence of God and build his kingdom, build his church. Let's pray together. Father, it is a monumental task. A monumental task of building your kingdom. And it is frightening, it can be intimidating, it can be overwhelming. And we could be like those 10 spies and say, can't do it, beyond us, and we can just step back and do nothing. But Father, we thank you that Joshua trusted in your promises. Joshua had faith in the assurance of your presence and your power with him, as did the people he led. And they went in and they conquered the enemy, and they took possession of the land that you promised. Father, help us to have such faith. As we go out to serve you, whether it's in a time of mission, whether it's just in our daily lives, wherever that will be, that we will take a stand for you. We will trust in your promises. We will lean upon your might and your power. And Father, we will be servants for the building of your eternal kingdom, for the building of your church. And Father, we will know the joy of seeing people come to faith, come to trust in Jesus, come to be added to our number, come to be added to the number of the saints, Lord, who worship you and who glorify you. So Father, send us out, not in arrogance, but in boldness and in confidence, for you are with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.